Have you ever had someone refer to something going on in the community who asked you, what's going on there? What's the story with all that? The right answer lies with the people directly involved in it, the people who know. Why not hear their story? So welcome to What's the Story, Pekin? I'm Gary Gillis, your host, and I hope you enjoy this Pekin podcast. My guest today is a returnee and someone who I expect to be interviewing quite often as we progress into this 200th bicentennial year here for the city of Pekin, and it's Jared Olar. When it comes to anything about Pekin history, the one name that always is shared is Jared's. He works here at the Pekin Library with the history room. He's a wealth of information. He knows how to access it. And since we're starting the little bit of a chronological listing of Pekin history, we need to talk a little bit about in the beginning, so how Pekin began. And so Jared is here to share that story. Jared, welcome.
Thank you very much, Gary. Good to be here again.
So how did it all get started? Go back to the very beginning, the genesis, if you will, of Pekin, Illinois.
Sure thing. Of course, we have traditionally counted our history here in Pekin from the year 1824. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you think about a beginning, you figure, well, what happened in that year and why was it that year? What was going on then? And so a little bit of a background there. The 1820s is the years immediately after Illinois has become a state. New state, new place. People, the westward drive of Americans, it's going on at that time. Mm-hmm. Land is opening up. This was something that had been going on really after the War of 1812, which was kind of America's last little challenge with Britain. It kind of established, mm-hmm. Even though we didn't win that war,
sure.
The best you could say was a stalemate, but what it did was it established for Britain and the other nations that America was here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And what it also did practically for this part of the United States, which was then called the Northwest, Illinois was part of the West.
Mm-hmm.
This was a place where the native nations were living. And they were still, many of the nations there were still hoping to keep white American encroachment at bay. And some of them turned to Britain for help. So that was part of the War of 1812 conflict. With the end of the War of 1812 and 1814, it was very clear that there was nothing that the native peoples living here would be able to do to prevent whites from going, and white Americans from going anywhere they mm-hmm. wanted in the part of the lands they owned. So you start seeing a land rush in Illinois. Illinois was founded really from the south, the bottom up. It was settled from the bottom up, from the southward areas. And that's because it was easy to come down the Ohio River
mm-hmm.
and just come to southern Illinois and just move up from there. Many settlers from Kentucky who'd come in from Virginia, they move into western Kentucky and they start settling the south part of Illinois. So those are the initial phase of Illinois settlement.
Mm-hmm.
But things changed after Illinois, after the War of 1812, after Illinois is no longer a territory in 1818, now we're a state. You see the land opening up and white settlers start pouring in. And so now you're starting to see them coming more from the east instead of from the south along Kentucky and then crossing the Ohio River. You're starting to see them come more from the east. And that's what happened in 1824. Somebody from Ohio named Jonathan Tharp, he lived in Urbana County in a town, Urbana County. It was either Champaign,
I think it was Urbana. I've read that. I believe it is Urbana.
Right. Yeah, there's Urbana Champaign, where Jonathan Tharp came from, and he, I believe, he came over land, which was different. Like I said, mm-hmm. many settlers would come down come up from the south of Illinois. He came over land to a more central part of Illinois. And this area in 1824 was, for a while, it was in a larger area known as Sangamon County. Part of it was broken off, became Peoria County, which included what is now Tazewell County for a while. And all very rapidly, the county borders are being redrawn as settlers are coming in. The General Assembly is creating new counties. And so Tazewell County gets broken off of Peoria County. Now, when we talk about Tazewell County, it's much bigger than territory than what we have today as Tazewell County. It incorporated not only the present county, but also a section of Logan County, a big part of Mason County, half of McLean County, Woodford County as well, and I think even part of Marshall. So it was a pretty big area originally.
Sure.
And so this is that area that Jonathan Tharp arrives in. He and friend of his, who I believe in fact was his brother-in-law, or soon, if I'm not mistaken, based on the last name, there was a friend of his who arrived, and let's see, I believe it was Jesse Egerton. But anyway, these two are the first ones to come to this area. Jonathan Tharp comes first, and then his brother-in-law the following year in 1825, his brother-in-law and some brothers and his father Jacob Tharp, old father Jacob Tharp, they arrive in 1825. Now when Jonathan Tharp arrives, he puts his cabin at a point which today, if you want to find that spot, go to the foot of Broadway and then look at the old Franklin School building, because that building is on the site of the same plot where the old Tharp cabin was originally placed.
And the current owner, Roger Brotherton, has a Pekin Museum in that building. So it's a great story.
It's a perfect place for a museum, right? Because that is the seed of Pekin right there,
great.
1824. Now, when he arrives, Jonathan Tharp arrives, he has some neighbors, but they are not white Americans of European extraction. These are some of the native peoples of North America, specifically Potawatomi, and also some Kickapoo. A few of the other tribes are living just to his north, along what they call Gravel Ridge. This is the ridge that's right above Pekin Lake.
Okay.
Native Americans knew the best places to camp. You're going to have a water supply. They're going to go where the food supply is. And they would, living a nomadic lifestyle, they're going to follow with the seasons. They're going to follow where the game is.
Sure.
And so it made sense for Jonathan Tharp to put a cabin there too, because this is where people are. They know where the natives know where to live. This must be a good place. So he was able to put his cabin there, and then send word back to his family, who follow in the following year, and build a few cabins near his, and they're able to engage in a trade with the native peoples here. Most of them, again, were of the Potawatomi tribe. And there, around this time, the Potawatomi had a few chiefs, and one of their peace chiefs was named Shabana. Sometimes it's pronounced Shabana. And he is known from the Black Hawk War of 1832. So a few years from now, Shabana is going to become... going to get his name written in the history books, because he and one of his sons and a nephew served as scouts for the Illinois militia during the Black Hawk War. By doing that, of course, he is regarded as a Native American Benedict Arnold by the Native peoples for working for the white man. But the white man, they didn't take to the Native people. They called Shabana the white man's friend. The white people, of course, were glad to call him the white man's friend, because a lot of families were saved by Shabana warning the settlers, "You better run for it. Black Hawk's troops his braves are coming, and they're not going to spare you." So that There is at least one season that, according to the early pioneer traditions, that Shavana and his family were camping here, along with his relatives, the Potawatomi. Now, Shavana himself was an Ottawa, but his first wife was the daughter of a Potawatomi chief.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the Ottawa and the Potawatomi were in fact, cousin tribes as well, of the Council of the Three Fires.
Sure.
The Ojibwe or Chippewa, the Potawatomi, and the Ottawa.
Okay. So Tharp, from what I've read in the past, he set up a river crossing, did he not? And then he also, our first trading post, read somewhere where he fashioned together something to cross the river, and then there was a trading post.
Yeah, it was not an official one. He wasn't the first one to really get a ferry going, but he... In those early years, he would have just taken his canoe across the river.
Okay,
but it was very soon, within 2-3 years of Tharp's arrival and then his family's arrival, you're finding several families living here, and so this is the roots of a pioneer village growing.
Right,
and in less than 6 years after Jonathan Tharp's arrival, Pekin is here. Pekin arrives on the scene, and that's because a few other people are showing up. Where there is free land and there's a land rush, there are people who enjoy real estate and what they call land speculators back then. And one of them was named Nathan Cromwell, who was a Maryland-born settler. He comes in to Illinois, and he's down in Sangamon County, and finds out that there's things going on up in this new area of Tazewell County, which was established by the state in early 1827. So just less than 3 years after Tharp's arrival, we now are broken off from Peoria County. And he's going to see if he can make some money off of land. So he'll, as a land speculator, he's going to come up with the ideas of platting towns and then selling off the lots to the following settlers. And so he and a few other early settlers in this area, they found a company, and they're going to make the site of a town at what's going to become Pekin. So along with Nathan Cromwell, he's known as Major Nathan Cromwell because I believe he was had served in a militia out east. There's also William Haynes and William Brown and Thomas Smell, Peter Menard, after whom Menard County is named, and who's also, Peter Menard is big in Tremont history. A. Herndon and Dr. Warner and a fellow named Carpenter, these guys get together and they buy some land and are going to plat out a town. They're going to draw a map and where the streets are going to be laid out, and invite people to come in here and buy the lots and start building their homes in this new town, this new site of a town. In 1829, they do the survey of their town site, and William Hodge from Blooming Grove, who was then the Tazewell County surveyor, goes ahead and surveys their planned town. And then by the end of 1829, they're doing the surveying. This is winter time. And winters back in the 1820s and 30s were pretty rough around here.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing a survey in winter. Mm. Now, why? That kind of indicates they're kind of in a bit of a rush. Why?
Sure.
What are they doing? Why are they doing this in the winter? Why don't they wait till warmer weather? Well, I'll get to that in just a moment. But by January 19th, Nathan Cromwell reports to his fellow company, little committee group, said that the survey is complete, the plat has been created, and we just need you guys to approve it, and we can file it down in Sangamon County and have our and start advertising to sell off lots in the town. But what they need to do was they need to come up with a name for their town site. So on January 19th, 1830, the settlers in this company, led by Cromwell and his colleagues, have a vote, and they take names. People nominate several names. I don't know how the nomination process took place, but they came up with three names, and everybody seemed to agree that the name of the town should start with the letter P, because the three names that are suggested are Portugal, Portfolio, and Pekin. An early pioneer tradition, a very, very early tradition. It's so early that it is reliable. There's no reason to doubt the tradition. It's within like 20 to 25 years of Pekin's founding, when it's first mentioned. That is that Nathan Cromwell's wife, Annalisa, is the one who liked the name Pekin, and that she was thinking of the capital of China. Now, there's a lot of stories that people like telling about, they got out a globe, and they were looking at, they're putting their finger on the other side of the globe, and everything. Nobody had any globes in Pekin in 1830. I'm sorry. There's some people had some maps, though. Probably somebody owned an atlas or two.
Sure.
Beijing, China, the capital of China, that was then called, in English-speaking countries, we kind of got it from the French. They called that city Pekin, or Peking. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pekin. There was a Pekin in Ohio, where Jonathan Tharp and his family came from, and several other settlers, early settlers of Pekin, came from Ohio. There was already a Pekin in Ohio. It's unincorporated. It's still there. There's not much to it. It's on almost the exact same line of latitude as Pekin, Illinois.
Really? Wow.
And it's also the same line of latitude as Peking, China. That's where that story comes from, of saying, oh, they were trying to look at the other side of the world or whatever. And, well, it's not literally the other side of the world if you go through the center of the Earth, because you'd come out in the Indian Ocean. That wasn't it. Other side of the world, same line of latitude, yes. Mm-hmm. It is on the other side of the world from Pekin if you stay at around 40 degrees north.
Okay,
That's about where we are. Mm-hmm. So that's where that story comes from, that my brothers heard when they were in school, and that they told me about, oh yeah, they had a globe, and they put their finger on the globe. Well, somebody added, in retelling and retelling that story, somebody added the globe. There was no globe.
Sure.
But I think they were thinking of Pekin. It's part of our city's earliest stories of associating ourselves with China and Chinese culture.
Well, I know
that. And
you
find that shows up already in the 1850s.
Well, I know that Mrs. Cromwell also was instrumental in the naming of the streets.
Yes.
That's another program altogether, but mm-hmm. her name was Annalisa, correct?
Mm-hmm. Annalisa.
And she had good friends, Margaret. Look at all the women's names and streets, and mm-hmm. you pretty much trace a lot of those back to the friends of Annalisa Cromwell.
They're able to identify with pretty good certainty each of the women for whom those streets are named, mm-hmm. including Annalisa. That is Annalisa Cromwell.
Sure.
And but each of them, Margaret and Sibella and Caroline and Catherine, Amanda, they know which of those. These were all wives and daughters, and in a couple of cases, mothers of the pioneer settlers, original group of people living here, except for St. Mary, which that street was just named after the mother of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fascinating. So they, was there another group laying out streets in a different fashion?
You know, yes.
You watch how things, boy, some are perpendicular to the river, and then others run east-west. It's kind of interesting.
Thank you very much for bringing that up, because, yes, that's the next thing that I was kind of hinting at. Yeah. You notice that they were doing a survey in December and January.
Sure.
Where there had to have been plenty of snow on the ground. Why were they in such a hurry? Because, you know, they got to be in a hurry. They must have been racing somebody. Who were they racing? They were racing Jonathan Tharp and his family. Mm. The Tharps had their own idea of what town should be here. They were from Ohio. They wanted to found a town named after Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Tharp, you see where he lives, he's just on the south side of Broadway, down near the river.
All right.
That's where he's living. And then his farm originally stretches to the south of that. And then they start moving out from there. But they're on the south side of Broadway. The town that becomes Pekin, is that's all north of Broadway.
All right.
So Jonathan Tharp and Jesse Dillon, one of the Dillon family, some of the very earliest white American settlers in Tazewell County are the Dillons, Nathan Dillon and his family. Jesse Dillon and Jonathan Tharp get together and they make their own plat for their own town of Cincinnati. And although you can't see it in the podcast, I went ahead and decided to bring something that I'll go ahead and show it to Gary so you can get an idea of what they were trying to do. Let's see, that one is on, which page is that? Here we go. So there is the plat that Jonathan Tharp and Jesse Dillon drew up. And here's the template. The Tazewell County Genealogical Society, Genealogical and Historical Society on 11th Street, in their archives, they've got this old template from which you may make the plats. Mm. This very, very old scrap of paper.
So there are streets that are laid out.
Yeah, look at how the streets are laid out.
North to south.
North, and then south, east, west. Yeah. Simple north, south, yeah. East, west grid.
Right. And then there was the competing ones, which were running kind of...
They're perpendicular to the river.
Yeah, so Pekin, southeast to northwest.
Right. You got because of the way the river is flowing, and they want to have a nice, easy landing of boats, they got the streets lined up perpendicular with the river.
Right.
Whereas Jonathan Tharp is saying, well, forget about lining up with the river. We're just going to do something nice and easy easy to figure out. North, south, east, west grid.
Sure.
Well, Jonathan Tharp and Jesse Dillon were able to file their plat as well. In March of 1830, Pekin's lots start to be auctioned off to newcomers. March of 1830. But this plat doesn't get filed in Springfield until the summer of 1830. So Cromwell and his friends beat the Tharps. And so they begin to sell off their lots first. Meanwhile, nobody is really interested in buying any lots from poor Jonathan Tharp. And so within a few years, after Pekin is officially named and platted, within a few years, the town of Cincinnati, and you can see this right here, it calls it Cincinnati Edition, but it says the town of Cincinnati.
Right.
The town of Cincinnati never happens. It's what you call an aborted town. And instead, it gets added on to Pekin as Pekin's first edition, the Cincinnati edition.
So we didn't end up with a Cincinnati, Illinois. Now we have a Canton, Illinois, but there was a Canton, Ohio. So I assume there's kind of a similar development in that case as well.
Of course, and at Canton, Ohio, there's another Chinese name.
Exactly.
Canton,
right.
China.
Yeah, exactly. So fascinating story, the difference in the names of the street.
And this is
Washington,
where all the
Franklin.
Weirdness of Pekin's old streets, the old town, downtown area, why the streets go off in funny directions like that, it all goes back to these two rival ideas of which town should be here. Should it be Pekin or should it be Cincinnati? It's Pekin. And we are not Cincinnati, we are Pekin.
And what would be considered the first street or the oldest street in Pekin?
The oldest street would have to be the trails that Jonathan Tharp was using.
Okay.
If you want to be honest, it's got to be the area around along Broadway, and then the street next to his going to the south, which would be right along there on that map. What's the name that he gave that? He wanted to call it Pleasant Street. It's next to Mechanic. I think today we call it South Second.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Interesting. So the was there any kind of dispute in Springfield over the naming of the community?
There wasn't really a dispute over the naming. I mean, once the vote was taken by Nathan Cromwell's group, Pekin won the vote.
Right.
They didn't want to be Portfolio. They didn't want to be Portugal. They wanted to be Pekin, which is I think, a good thing. I don't know, Portugal is kind of an interesting name, but I'm just glad the portfolio didn't win out. Yeah. I mean, that's just a weird name.
Yeah.
I'm just figuring, was somebody just playing games or something, just shooting names out there just for as a joke? Where did they come up with these ideas?
Well, you could spend a lifetime trying to figure out what would you name the mascot or the teams after Portfolio in Portugal.
That would be a
challenge.
So, I know. Well, the joke that I've told before of a few people, if we were Portfolio, we could make a little joke like the Portfolio Artists.
Sure.
Artists Portfolio. Yeah. Or Financial. Portfolio Financials.
Yeah, the Diversifieds.
What would be the team name? I don't know.
Hmm.
But so we are Pekin. So this is 1830 when all this is happening.
Sure.
This is the year of Pekin's officially coming into existence. We count our bicentennial from Jonathan Thorpe's arrival in 1824, but it's really in 1830 that Pekin officially shows up on the map. We get our name then. And again, there's the very early on that association with a fanciful association with China,
right,
and which begins to show up already by the 1850s in Pekin. Somebody even wanted to found another town in the area that's now the industrial area where Alto is.
Mm.
They wanted to found another town near Pekin called Hong Kong. That didn't happen though.
Yeah.
And it shows up on a map in 1857, and we never see it again after 1857.
Yeah.
So there's no Hong Kong, Illinois.
Yeah, I'm glad that didn't stick either. Yeah. I like the great American ingenuity. Great thoughtfulness and creativity came into naming a South Pekin and a North Pekin. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Jared, I appreciate you being here, and you know this is the first of a continuous saga of how Pekin develops. How we evolve into being who we are today. So I appreciate you being here. The invitation stands open, and we're going to have you back again as we continue this bicentennial year.
I'll be glad to be here again and tell more of Pekin's story.
Great. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I want to thank those who make this effort possible, the Pekin Area Chamber of Commerce, our sound guy and recording expert, Mike Eaton, the Pekin Public Library for providing us a place to host and record, and to our many guests who add to the archives of What's the Story Pekin. Please be sure to share your thoughts by emailing us at pekinpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to rate us on whatever platform you listen to, and stay tuned for more podcasts to come.